the Chai FM Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
Mayor Rusversky, a very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Howard.
Good. I wanted to ask you, we're starting to see a lot of, a smattering, actually, of reports around how close to Israel border ISIS is. First of all, how strong is ISIS still today?
Well, you know, the common narrative is that basically ISIS has been defeated and they're really not a threat anymore. But we just saw last week that an ISIS cell was 200 meters from the Israeli border. And of course, after they were warned and they were heavily armed with, you know, guns and grenades and things like that, the Israelis took them out. What we're hearing now also is that they're back to making videos. They're back to beheading journalists in Syria. We just got a video about how they were going to behead an Italian journalist and one from Japan. They managed to kidnap an entire village in Syria. They're holding women, children, and men, and they threatened to execute them, and they already started. So they're also very, very active. They're trying to relocate their caliphate to the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, which is kind of a big no man's land. And so I don't think that we can say that their threat is so contained right about now.
So why is it that we want that narrative? Is it just part of the way the certain news sites like to report things?
I think so. I think that they think that, okay, we're moving on from this. We got them covered. And we really don't at all. Plus, of course, in the cybersphere and recruiting people, they're very, very active.
Right.
So, I mean, we certainly saw. I think that we need to rethink what's going on.
You know, it was reported, I think, in some of the American press, but hardly here in South Africa at all, where the a group of cyclists that were cycling around the world were killed in an attack.
Right, in Tajikistan.
Absolutely.
Right.
And,
yes. And you know what? There were two Americans killed and a couple, and it also wasn't really reported in the American press either.
ISIS
took responsibility, said it was a targeted killing of foreigners.
Yeah, so I saw it, I think it was in the New York Post was the one outlet that reported it, but for 15 minutes and then it was gone. And I thought this is the strangest thing. Americans have been killed on foreign soil by ISIS, who have claimed responsibility, and it's very, very clearly an ISIS type of attack. It fit their modus operandi, and there was very little reaction to it. It's almost that we don't want to.
We find it at Clarion. We find it very, very strange that this has become the new narrative.
Yeah.
Because it's just not reflecting reality.
No, it's certainly interesting.
Of course they have been seriously downgraded. That is absolutely. They have been seriously downgraded. But I don't think anybody should think that they're rolling over and playing dead yet.
Right, and of course we know that their ties to Boko Haram, we know their ties to Al-Shabaab, and they are enormously active and doing an incredible amount of damage further north from us here in Africa.
Right, they are really, really growing. In fact, all the extremist groups are really, really growing in Africa. And you know, Iran has enormous tentacles all over Africa. You can look on the Clarion Project. We've done infographics and articles on this about how Iran is fomenting a lot of stuff going on in Africa.
It's really, really frightening indeed. How much of a threat, we don't have a lot of time, but how much of a real threat are ISIS to Israel?
ISIS, in terms of Israel, my personal feeling is not such a big threat, which I'm pretty confident to say that ISIS doesn't pose the big threat. I think more of the threat is Iran, you know, in the form of Hezbollah, although I'm very happy that Netanyahu has seemed to, gotten Putin on Israel's side. And also between Russia and Turkey and Syria, they are starting to sideline Iran, which is a really, really good thing. Syria has decided that, you know, Putin is a good enough backer for me. I don't really need Iran, and Iran has become kind of an embarrassment to him, to them. In Yemen, they are also starting to be embarrassed about Iran, and they've kicked out all their personnel, the Iranian personnel that are fomenting the unrest there to the neighboring country of Oman. And so it's very interesting. And also you have all the protests in Iran, that are the latest chant from the protesters, you know, these are economic protests at this point, is death to Hezbollah. So we heard a few weeks ago, death to the Palestinians. Now we're hearing death to Hezbollah. And what does that mean? It means that, like, stop giving all of our money. We're starving. We can't buy a loaf of bread. The inflation is insane in Iran. The economy is tanking. You know, oil sales are down because of all the sanctions. And stop giving all of our money to these, you know, foreign terrorists.
Absolutely.
So the combination is very, very interesting. I read an Iranian journalist yesterday, who was, you know, a pro-West. He left about the time of the revolution, saying this could be Trump's moment, just like Nixon was very, very influential in bringing China, you know, out of its kind of dark stage and into the family of nations, as much as that could be done. And Ronald Reagan had his tear down this wall moment and very heavily responsible for the demise of the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. He was saying, you know, if Trump plays his cards right, maybe he could be responsible for bringing Iran out of this, you know, totalitarian, ideological driven, regime and into the family of nations. An interesting idea.
Absolutely, and certainly a hopeful one. Unfortunately, it is 9:01. That's where we do have to leave it. I do apologize that our news is a little bit late. That is Mary Irisworski from the Clarion Project. Go and look at their website. They do incredible work, incredible research, and very, very interesting stuff indeed. It is 9:01. I do apologize again. Have a fantastic day.